Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of your favourite podcast, Insane in the Fembrain. Welcome back, everybody. I hope you're well. I hope everything's fine with you. It's a blistering hot day as I record this. Lovely stuff. I'm not going to get too much into it. I've got my admin sorted out. I'm back on track. I'm getting things done. I'm making progress, which is nice. So thanks to everyone that messaged to say, are you all right, mate? Because, yeah, it's been a funny old couple of weeks, but I'm fine. Honestly, I am fine. I'm getting back on it. For those that have asked, there's going to be a Walking with Wilson coming very soon. For anyone that's interested. So I'm going to be doing that soon. I need to tell you who's on Insane in the Membrane this week. I'm talking to the brilliant comedian, Mike McLean. You'll know Mike. He was around big time in the 90s. He's Big Breakfast and things like that. He's got a book out as well. Oh, I remember him, which is really funny. He's a good lad, and that's happening over on Insane in the Membrane as we speak. So, here on Insane in the Fembrain this week, I'm talking to the wonderful Nancy Carter Bradley, Avocado Fairy, as she's known on the socials. Now, I'd never met Nancy. We'd never met. It was just out of the blue. Her friend Siobhan dropped me a line just saying that her friend Nancy had put together a petition to get much needed, a particular kind of cancer treatment looked at by Parliament so that more people could get it. It's like it's out in America, but it's not here yet. And so, we just got chatting, and then I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe let's get Nancy on, and then maybe Nancy can talk about the petition and talk about what she's after and talk about, you know, and have a bit of a chat about, you know, what about herself, really, and her story. And you never know with people where it's going to go. Like, it could be, you know, because sometimes you have a chat with people and, you know, and it doesn't really go anywhere. Because it is very, it's nerve-wracking doing this. Of course it is. If you've never done this before, it's nerve-wracking talking to people. Public speaking is, and you know, the hundreds of thousands of people that listen to this, you're going to be, it's, of course it is. You're going to shit your pants, you know. But she came on and we had the best chat. It was fantastic. We talk about some really dark topics, to be honest. We go into some dark places, but it's done in a way that, and we were laughing, and not at it, of course we weren't at it, but we were able to laugh as well as talk about these dark things, because, you know, Nancy was sadly diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumour, and having to deal with that every day of your life was something that I just couldn't comprehend. So I wanted to talk to Nancy about that, and we did. We had a good chat about it. She really opened up, told us all manner of things, and it's been amazing. So with that in mind, thank you to Siobhan for the initial introduction. Really appreciate that. She keeps asking about her fee. Biscuits. I'll send you a load of biscuits. I don't know. But thank you for that, Siobhan. You're a top human being. Thank you so much. And I got to meet someone brilliant, and so you will now also meet someone brilliant. So coming up in a minute, it's Nancy Carter Bradley.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
A podcast from producer paul.co.uk.
Thank you for coming on. Really appreciate it. I'm sorry it's not under better circumstances.
Yeah.
So, what if you just tell us your story.
An abridged version is I am in a bit of a predicament health-wise. Mm. I have terminal brain cancer.
I'm really sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah, me too, actually. It's pretty serious, where I am right now. Mm. And that's why I'm out here trying to talk about it, because actually, firstly, I'm able to talk about it. A lot of people in my situation aren't able to.
Really?
Lucky in the fact that my tumour is in my occipital lobe, which is my eyesight part of my brain. So I still have the ability to talk, whereas some of my friends, let's say it's in their frontal lobe, they're not so clearly able to speak. Oh. Although some would say I suffer from that as well.
So, you sound all right.
I don't know. I have my moments. So, whilst I can, I'm trying to get a conversation about brain cancer, because it's a pretty underfunded cancer. Mm. It's since I was first diagnosed in 2002, there haven't really been any major developments.
Really? All that time?
All that time. No. There's immunotherapies starting to happen.
Yeah.
There's been improvements with more refined types of radiotherapy, but fundamentally, it's not a good diagnosis to get.
Really?
There's
not much they can do once it's...
So there's chemo. Mm. I can't be operated on anymore because it's gone down towards my brain stem, and apparently that's really important.
I've heard. So, yeah, I mean, I'm no doctor, but I've heard.
It has its uses.
Yeah. From what I've gathered over the years, I don't know. Don't claim.
Keeps you upright.
Yeah. I mean, don't quote me on this.
There is this new type of treatment that is out there. It's been used in the States for a number of years.
Yeah.
And a couple of months ago, I worked with a BBC reporter to do a piece on this. And I had to go do some researching, really.
Yeah.
And I found hundreds, thousands of people who are using this new treatment.
Mm.
And are still here, Rich.
Right.
Then these are people with a diagnosis of a GBM, which typically, I'd say 3 months to 12 months life expectancy.
Oh, wow.
And I can't tell you, I lost count in the hundreds of the people who are 5 years down the line and still are alive. And quality of life is like really good.
Right. So why is this more widely known? What is it? Is it just come down to money?
In essence, yes.
Yeah.
Timing, when it was last reviewed, and this is my problem I'm having with the institutions, is that everyone's quoting me something that was reviewed in 2018. I don't know about you, but a lot's happened since 2018.
Yeah.
We've had a whole pandemic.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Sort of took over the world.
Yeah.
And, but from that has come these vaccinations that came out of nowhere. You know, so medical developments can happen quickly. And this is one of those developments that has happened, is working in the States, but NICE didn't approve it at the time. I think the official line is that it's not cost effective. But there's a lot more data on it now. There is there have been more trials. And bottom line is, it shows that it is extending life expectancy. And it needs to be looked at again. It really does. I don't see why geography means that I should die, but someone in the States should live.
It doesn't make any sense at all. But like we say, it obviously just comes down to money. It always comes down to that, it seems.
Well, it usually is with things like this, isn't it? Which is... And timing. I think perhaps things weren't set up to review. This isn't a drug, you see. This is a bit of kit that wear on your head. It's not the best look for a woman. You have to shave your head. Stick these pads onto your on your head. It's a bit of a commitment. I understand that NICE at that point wasn't geared up to reviewing medical technology. But more, I could be wrong. But more drugs. And so if it's really expensive and it's a bit of tech, it's not going to get through the door. Because there aren't the parameters to review it.
And it's been proven that this is working.
It really has been proven, yeah.
And what does it do?
So it sends an electromagnetic sort of frequency wave through your... I'm doing that because I'm still feeling...
That's great.
you know, like to give the full performance. Yeah, it sends waves through your brain. And it basically targets the rapidly dividing cancer cells. Doesn't bother the normal brain cells, which is good if you've got any left. I'm debating whether I have many left.
I don't think many of us have got many left after the last couple of years.
No, it's been tough. And that's what it is. It's not toxic like chemo that I'm on at the moment, which is hard. It doesn't have the complications of radiotherapy. It literally is an aesthetic sort of issue, and sometimes you can have the odd mark on your head or I don't want to say burn, but perhaps if something overheats or whatever. So it's a great bit of tech that is making a big difference.
But for some reason, people over here like yourself and other people in a similar situation just don't have access to it.
I think in total in the UK, and I think, well, there have been private patients, only under 40 people have used Optune in the UK.
That must be... I can't imagine what you're already going through to then have something almost in front of you that could... gives you at a point where you go, look, I'll try anything. Because I'm, you know, obviously you're desperate. Of course you are. You know, you're a human being. And to have it so close, but to not be able to have it for one reason or another, just that must drive you. I don't know how you cope. How do you cope with that? That's what you just do.
I'm on three different types of anti-anxiety medication for starters. It's torture.
I can imagine.
My husband and I feel tormented.
It's
like the stuff you expect to see in movies, you know. Can't quite believe. But let me just say that this bit of kit isn't pretending to be the cure-all, the saviour of all situations. It's not. It's a treatment option, and I know it's a treatment option that would work for me. and to know it's there, and because I don't have private healthcare insurance and I don't happen to have a huge wedge of cash in my bank account, I don't know about you, but I don't have £240,000 in my bank.
Not the last time I checked.
No, you're not going to lend it to me then.
If I had it, you could have it.
Oh,
if I had it, you could have it. Honestly, I wouldn't even bat an eyelid. It'd be yours.
Oh.
But I think I'm £9 into my overdraft. 90 quid in my overdraft, so it's fine. So I don't think that's happening.
Well, I'll go now then, shall I?
Yeah, bye then. Thanks.
I was only here for the money.
Oh, yeah. I look successful, but I'm just blagging it.
Yeah, aren't we all? So, yeah, in fact, my husband said to me yesterday, he's the opposite of me. He's very calm and steady. He's a scientist. In fact, he went to Imperial College where I'm being treated now, and so he's the sensible, clever one of the pair of us. And he said, I'm absolutely wrung out. I think we're at our lowest point we have ever been in a long time, because it's almost worse knowing that there is a treatment out there that we can't access, then just being told, well, okay, this is your limit. You've got 2 years. Make the most of it. And now there's, well, hang on, it's 2 years, but there could be something, but sorry, you don't have the money to pay for it. You can't have it.
And it's just, and that's it. And yeah, that's that must be awful to just, literally, as I say, it just comes down to being able to afford it.
Yeah. Well, isn't that the case in life, though? Why we've got so many problems in the world with everything.
But thing is, there's enough for everybody, isn't there? There's enough.
There is enough for everybody. I have to say, with this company, I don't think they're the problem.
No.
If you do a little bit of research, which I've done into the company, they've got a real sort of humanitarian approach to this device and how they want it to be used for people.
Brilliant.
Which is really good, really ethical. Their ethics are really good, because when I've said to people, oh, it's an American company, we get that, oh, the big pharma, you know, thing. Actually, I don't believe it is with this company. I believe that they should be able to recoup their IPR costs.
Absolutely,
and, you know, they've put a lot of money into this bit of tech. And that's where I think that our government, NICE, NHS England, whoever decides to work with them, you know, needs to sit and work with them.
Yeah.
Because if we get five people from the NHS England, NICE, a couple from the company, and someone from, you know, God, saying, right, put them all together.
Yeah.
Looking at things now with the new data, and to... they would come to some arrangement. I think there is a meeting point. And I've got a horrible feeling. Am I going to be stuck? Is it just because of timing? Is it in 5 years' time, will this be commonplace for everybody?
Yeah.
And I'm just at the wrong end of the timing thing.
But what you're doing is, the work you're doing now, trying to get the signatures on the petition, trying to get it at least started.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Because you know, it would be so easy to go, well, why am I not getting this? Why can't I? This is bollocks. But what you're doing is actually making changes so that people in the future don't have to go through this, which is an incredible thing to be doing.
Oh, thank you.
It's a wonderful thing. So, yeah, like you say, hopefully that won't be the case. But if it was to be the case, and unfortunately you didn't reap the benefits of what you've done, people will do. They will benefit from this, and that is such, what a legacy to leave.
That's why I'm doing this. And you know, I would like to be able to sort stuff out for myself.
Of course,
maybe that's doable. But I mean, the thing is, Rich, I've accidentally lived when I shouldn't have done for quite a while. So I've seen many of my friends die.
Yeah,
and if I can try and stop a few shitasters in the future for people. You know, then at least there's a point to me being here. And I might have to at some point, I don't know, raid the piggy bank I don't know. There is no. There, I don't have them. I don't know what I'm going to do at some point.
No.
But right now, I can shout from the rooftops, and that's what this petition. But I have to say, I don't know whether the British public have like an allergy about signing petitions, but it would be easier to go and pull my own teeth out.
Really?
Than to give this. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a funny one. I think I don't know if it's because we're inundated now. Like every day, there's a new thing and.
There is a new thing.
Yeah, and I think sometimes people get a bit, not because they don't care, but I think they just get to the point of like, oh, there's another petition. They don't look at it even. They don't even go. It takes someone who's got a massive influence maybe to go, sign this, just sign it. Because it only takes a minute. That's the other thing as well. It doesn't take anything. You just go, it doesn't affect you in any way, shape or form. All it does is you're just a signature amongst a hundred thousand other signatures. That means that petition will then get put into the eyes of someone that could hopefully give it to someone else. Who actually, this needs looking at.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. It's one signature does that, and it won't even affect you ever again. You don't even have to opt into the emails. You can opt out. So you sign it and you can move on.
Yeah, I know. I think I notice a big difference. Having had cancer for quite a few years, post-pandemic, there's a huge compassion fatigue out there.
Definitely,
at the
moment. Yeah, unfortunately.
We're all knackered. We've all had a very crap 2 years. And it's human nature to regroup and consolidate and, you know. And so I get it. I genuinely do. But what baffles me is when I have more people offering me money for a GoFundMe than for signatures. It's like, so there is kindness
absolutely.
Out there still. I honestly, I have had some people say to me, well, if we sign this, then that, you know, for this treatment, that means 10 people can't have X of other treatment. And I'm like, well, if you sign this, then perhaps the price can be negotiated. Mm. So perhaps I can have this treatment and then X can still go and have their treatment. You know, it's forward thinking, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
And again, that's what I think the pandemic's stolen from a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't agree more. We have all of us got PTSD, definitely. We haven't dealt with half the things that have happened to us yet.
No.
We are all different. You can see it. I gig all the time, comedy gigs, and you can
Do you feel it then?
Yeah.
Does it feel different?
People, there used to be, you know, I'd be the one on stage talking and then the audience would be there to be the ones that listen. And there's a blurring of the lines where they don't think twice about shouting out. They don't think twice about commenting on what you're saying.
Really?
Yeah. And
it's more than just the heckle.
It's not even heckling. It's actually questioning what you're saying, and you're going, "No, I'm joking. I'm joking about this." And they're like, "Well, you shouldn't be." And they're like, "Well, I think people. Yes, we're all different, and we don't even realise it yet. And I think once we start picking apart what's gone on over the last couple of years. Well, the fact that it's still happening. You know, the numbers are still on the rise.
Yeah,
but there isn't anyone in charge. The government are just doing, you know, they're not even...
Do we have one?
No.
Are they having tea parties?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we're not allowed to joke about that anymore, apparently.
I joked about it on Tuesday, and they just stared at me, and I went, oh, fuck off, come on.
What?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. Maybe they're just bored of hearing about it. Maybe it's that.
Oh, well, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think I'm ever bored of giving Boris a hard time.
Well, we need him on side, so let's not piss him off.
Oh, sorry. Yes. No, I didn't say that. I'm meeting his friend tomorrow. Kit Malthouse is my MP. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's something. This is the thing that I don't know. Like you said, so 2002, you got your diagnosis.
2005.
2005, you got your diagnosis. Sorry.
Yeah.
And then you've been living with this whole time.
Yeah.
But you're still pushing yourself to talk to people, get out there and push for this, push for things, push for change.
Absolutely.
And that's amazing.
I'm not going to die quietly.
No, absolutely. I genuinely don't know what I'd do.
Same. I think there's two camps. I've seen it. There's the sort of I can't quite believe this is happening. Howl at the moon camp, me. And then there's those who perhaps can assimilate the information better. And I'm not saying accept it and happy to die. I'm not saying that at all. But I have got friends who just... And I wish... Perhaps let's say it's people that have faith and things like that. You can just... They have a much more accepting nature of things. And I think there's sort of generally those are the two camps that you fall into. And I've always been absolutely very pissed off that that I'm in this situation.
Yeah.
And now I realise that it's got very serious and I can do something to try and help others. And that's why I'm doing this.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And when it... What happened? So what happened? Let's go back a bit. What happened that meant you needed to go and get looked at in the first place? Was there... Did you notice things were happening or memory was going or...
What, in 2005?
Yeah.
That's another story in itself.
Right.
2 years I was going to my doctors saying... There's something wrong. I have two seizures. One doctor said, "Oh, you don't want to admit you had a seizure. You'll lose your driving license."
Oh wow.
The other doctor wrote down that I had a somatization disorder. I was told I had depression. You name it.
Yeah.
Back in 2005, if you think back, actually MRIs weren't the norm then.
No.
It's pre iPhones and all that kind of stuff, you know. And I even went privately. I think I went to 5 different people. And because of what the GP wrote on my notes, they all ruled me out saying I was crazy.
Wow.
So, in the end, I was actually buying something off eBay and I was looking at the computer screen and I said to my first husband, who's died.
I'm sorry.
He had a heart attack in front of the kids, which wasn't great.
Oh my God.
So, yeah, we took turns. Bit of cancer, bit of heart attack, bit of cancer.
Yeah, I don't know what the...
Yeah. Anyway, couldn't see and Justin said, "This is... fucking ridiculous." This, you know, it rang up accidentally through an ophthalmologist, you know, when you go and have your eyes checked, found an eye A&E clinic. And they said, "Right, get up to us now." And the next thing, I'm being whisked in for a CT. And then I come out of the CT with my dad and my first husband. And as we're getting, we just got into the car. And we were going to go home. I got a call from Charing Cross saying, "This is Dr. Nicholas. You have got a brain tumour and it's an emergency. You need to get into hospital now."
Oh my God.
So we were like, "Oh my God." So
yeah.
I was in hospital within the hour on drugs. The swelling in my brain was causing seizures.
Right.
And I was not in a good place at all. In fact, the brain surgeon, when I had to get the swelling down with steroids, the brain surgeon told me I was going to die.
My God.
Which wasn't the most optimistic outlook on things. So I don't want you doing my brain then. Thanks.
Yeah, can we get a second opinion?
Have a more cheerful one. But he was very very clean and smelt of soap. And I thought, that's really what you want in a brain surgeon.
Yeah,
you know,
when
how do you get your CV? How do you know you've got a good one? I mean,
I just smell your hands.
Yeah. Can I smell you?
Yeah.
Do you smell good?
Oh, you smell nice.
You dress quite sharp. You say your T's nicely. Okay.
Yeah, you'll do. Yeah. Have a rummage around, mate.
Yeah. So, and I've just sort of accidentally, I should have died years ago. And I haven't.
Just keep going.
My brain is off being sequenced at the moment. It's taking its time, or rather the humans doing the sequencing are taking its time to see why I'm a bit of an anomaly. Not that I can say it.
So it's obviously where the tumour is, it obviously, yeah, it's inoperable, and but it's obviously not touching.
Well, it's not. So it's in my eyes. So I'm partially sighted.
Okay.
And my balance is rubbish. Mm. I look like I've been on the gin sometimes.
Yeah.
And where it's going down into my brainstem, apparently that's more breathing.
Okay.
Reasonably important stuff.
Yeah, again.
So I'm not in a rush.
I'm no expert, but I've heard breathing's quite top of the list of requirements.
I think so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why, you know, it's very tricky.
And how did you feel after, when they said that? How did, it's so much to process.
I don't think I still really have processed it, really. And I think that's probably why I'm on three types of, well, it's mainly two types of anti-anxiety drugs. Mm. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
Once upon a time with my first husband, we had a conversation where, because he died suddenly, unexpectedly, in front of my kids on a bike ride. And because he'd had a heart attack years before, but it was told that was a one-off, he was going to be fine, fixed, all good. We said, oh God, what's better, knowing you're going to die or just dropping dead? And obviously, for him, just dropping down dead was the way to go. He never once worried about dying. Obviously for us, the aftermath's pretty diabolical.
Of course, yeah.
And then there's the knowing you're going to die, which is the situation and I'm in, and it's a special kind of hell.
How can you imagine?
It's a special kind of hell.
Because you don't know what it could just happen, or...
You just it intensifies everything.
Yeah.
And you feel bad if you're feeling ungrateful, or if you're having a crap day, should every day feel good? You know, it amplifies the good and the bad.
Mm.
I have to also say it has helped me focus on what's really important.
Yeah.
I don't tolerate idiots as much. I try to treat people how I want to be treated myself. It does make you think a lot about things.
Yeah.
Too much.
I can imagine. Yeah, you've just got just time to just sit and think.
I'd rather not know. If that. Yeah. Now, having witnessed both options.
Yeah.
With my husband and what I'm going through, I'd rather not know.
That must be something else. You have just, because I know a few people. I know a couple of people that have lost loved ones to brain tumours. And I also know people that have lost loved ones where they've just gone out and that's it. Last time they've seen them. And on both sides, it's. I just can't. Seeing the slow deterioration on the one side and then the other one of just that person just not being there anymore. That just suddenly, it wasn't like, oh, they were ill and they've gone. It was like, your brain just must go, because your brain doesn't understand. So your brain's just going, oh no, they're just up the shops. They were getting milk, or they're out with the kids. And your brain's going, yeah, but they're out with the kids. And you're going, the other side's going, no, they're not here anymore. And you go, well, I don't understand what that means. How do you deal with that? You suppose you just do, I don't know.
I'm very lucky I have two children. And we became a very solid core unit, like the three amigos.
Nice.
And it was very important for me that when they lost their dad, the way they lost him as well, that we held ourselves together.
Mm.
And I showed them as much love and strength as possible, which by strength, I don't mean being stiff upper lip and not talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, we would all cry together. I brought their mattresses into my bedroom, and so we all camped out together every night.
Oh, amazing.
And it was very important to me that situation didn't bugger up their lives completely. And I have to say, you know, obviously them having to process losing their dad like they did, and having to cope with me in my situation. Mm. It's an awful lot for two young, I mean, they're 22 and 23.
Yeah.
It's an awful lot. I don't know. I totally didn't have my shit together really at that age.
No.
And they do. They've learnt an awful lot from it. And I'm very proud of them for that. But what a thing to have to deal with. It's difficult.
Absolutely. But it's funny, we don't give our children enough credit. Because like you say, because we weren't maybe, we didn't have our shit together at a certain age or whatever. We assume that, oh, they're just kids. But then you hear them talk, or when something bad happens and they step up and they deal with it.
Yeah.
You realise that actually, yeah, they are pretty switched on. My lads are properly switched on. They're 25 and 30. And they understand things far more than I ever did.
Yeah.
And it's incredible.
Well, you must mean you're a good dad then.
Good parenting, see?
Good parenting. Thank God for us.
Yeah, well done. We're bloody legends, us.
Absolutely.
I'm glad we met. Bloody legends, mate. This is the Legends Club you're listening to.
Absolutely.
But that's what it is. It's like you said, it's about being open with your children, talking things through. We've always done that. I didn't even realise that it was an extra thing. You just kind of.
But it is though, isn't it? When you pick up bits of other people's lives and things like that, you think, oh God, hang on a minute. Actually, families don't talk like we do. And I don't mean deep, proper, meaningful advice talk. I mean, just chatting and about just listening and about normal stuff, being there for each other, because they've been there for me as I hope I've been there for them. And we're still doing that now. I mean, my son has just left the army. He was in the army for 4 years. And he's setting up his own business now. He's got a girlfriend. They want to set up a home together. And my daughter's a medical student. So they've both got good tracks that they're going down. And so they support me much more now, because you know I'm the gibbering wreck. You're going to die, and they're like, Mum, calm down. You're not going to die today.
No,
it's all right. You're fine. go and have a gin and tonic. You'll be all right.
Yeah, you'll be fine. Are you finding that as well now? Like you kind of, because obviously, you know, you've been diagnosed with something horrific. And like you've already said, your perspective changes on a lot of things.
Yeah.
So are you, you know, like things like that, because we're always like worried about, oh, I better not have that, that's not good for you. Are you like, fuck it, I'm having it all?
Ish. I mean...
Obviously you don't want to make yourself ill as well as being ill.
Yeah, so, right. Let me let you into a little secret, 46-year-old women. Menopause, right? That's a... fucking joy, because chemo and menopause is just absolutely brilliant. So a woman of a certain age, if I could drink myself into oblivion and go for it, I would, but I can't because my body goes, absolutely not. I can't drink, not... My mother's an alcoholic, so I have to be careful
bloody hell, this is twist and turn. It's quite the soap opera.
Sorry about
it's
that.
It's going everywhere.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
What was I saying? I can't drink because my hormones won't let me do what I did when I was in my 20s. Okay. So now I can't live to excess.
Because your body just goes, no.
Yeah, but my brain, it's nothing to do with my tumour or my treatment or anything like that. It's just my brain's like, I get instant hangovers.
Oh, really?
If you speak to a lot of perimenopausal women, I'm not sure whether you do. I know you do your insane in the membrane.
Yeah, we talked about it. That's why we do it, because there's conversations that we have never had.
Yeah, and well, it's a new thing. Yeah. I can't imagine a generation before with you and I would be, what? Absolutely not.
Talking about that. That's something mum went
talk about
through.
The weather.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because of the perimenopause, I can't drink like I used to, which is probably the most depressing situation of my life.
I've never heard of that before. That's amazing. Not amazing, but, you know, it's I didn't know that.
It affects a lot of women with alcohol. Just can't tolerate it like you used to.
So you have a couple of gins and then you're like, no, that's...
I'd love to say I was anybody's, but A, those days are over, and B, it's just go straight to hangover. And it's not even...
Not even the fun bit?
The dancing on the table days are gone.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, it really does. You definitely, you blokes have got the better deal.
No wonder women are pissed off with us. I get it. The more conversations like this I have, the more I realise. Oh, God.
We make you suffer, though, don't worry. I mean, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
For instance, my husband gets all the blue jobs.
Blue jobs?
Yeah, blue job, pink job, blue job.
What?
Blue jobs.
Wow.
This is probably, it's very anti-woke. It's probably anti-me.
It's not very progressive.
So, no, it's not, is it? But I love it. And I'm not changing, so that can fuck off. So he puts the bins out, you know, and if I'm feeling menopausal, he'll get shouted to put the bins out. and you can stay out there. Don't come back.
And he's like, yeah, fine.
Yeah.
I'll stay here getting pissed.
Exactly. So, yeah, we know how to make you not suffer somehow, so it's fine.
I think this is what needs to happen, is that us men do, and we are opening up and having the conversation. We don't know how to have them. That's the problem. We don't know how to talk about it, because we've got the next generation, I imagine, will have a better idea and be a bit more open, and they'll be progressive, a bit more progressive than us. But we're kind of the first generation that are going, what's all this menopause thing I've been hearing about? I mean, I know my mum went through it, but she didn't really talk about it. She was just crying in the corner behind the fridge.
Yeah. I think it's pretty hard for you guys, actually. I really feel, because it's like, what?
And it doesn't make sense. Yeah, we can't comprehend what it must be like.
No. Well, I don't think we really can, to be honest.
No.
You know, it's, but what is nice, you know, how old are you, Rich?
I'm 50.
You're 50, right, so I'm 46. So what is nice is that we can chat about it.
Mm.
And I know that my friends talk to their husbands about it, whereas my parents' generation, absolutely not. And my son, I didn't even, as a girl growing up, menopause, I didn't know what it was. My son absolutely bloody well knows what it is.
Yeah. He's out by the beans with your husband.
Yeah. Both of you out now.
Both from pissed. I'm not going back in here. Don't put your fingers through the cat flaps. You'll have them off.
Absolutely. So, yeah.
Yeah. But that's it. It was only ever discussed as the change.
Oh, God, yes.
It was the change.
But the change.
The only thing we knew about things changing was like the Hulk or something. Or something. And then so like 1 minute you're one thing and then you become something else. So we didn't realise that over a long period of time,
Your
body's going. Well, that's the thing that we don't talk about. Maybe we are. Maybe I don't talk about it or haven't been privy to up until sort of recent years. We don't talk about the fact that women's bodies are in a constant state of.
Yeah, it's a constant.
There's always
change.
Something going on. There's always this cycle, and it's not a case of. I say this all the time on here because it's fascinating to me because I've only just sort of discovered it. That, you know, your period isn't just like that week where you're a bit angry. It's the whole cycle, constantly. And then it gets to a point where your body just goes, right, that's it, no more. You're not doing that anymore. So now we're going to get rid of everything that you've had.
Absolutely.
And you're just going to get, and now you've got to deal with this. And you're like, at no point have I ever been told about that up until recently.
As a girl, I wasn't told that.
Really?
No. I mean, I don't know whether I was... I don't think parents really, my parents didn't give me any advice. My dad obviously didn't, but my mum didn't. And I started my period when I was 9 as well.
Bloody hell.
So, which is really young.
Yeah.
So that was a shocker. And I went to a convent full of nuns. God, so they,
what the hang on a minute. Is this episode directed by Quentin Tarantino? As producer Paul left the building. Every time you open your mouth, the next thing is like, oh, and then this happened. Oh, by the way, I was this. And then I'm like, what the fuck? Wow.
It's a shit show. The whole thing from start
to end. Your life's been carnage. Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Wow. There's some really good bits too. But on paper,
it's all been brilliant by the sounds of it.
Someone said that I should go and send a script off to someone.
Absolutely, you should. Yeah. Yes.
There you go. Feel free to write my life story, Rich.
I genuinely think this is a great story. Not great for you.
Yeah. Can I not be in my story?
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
Oh, God. We're getting dark here. Oh, dear. Do you know what? Because I thought when we were doing this, I was like, I wonder how it's going to go. And then that's been fine.
Oh, good. Oh, phew.
Yeah, it's been great. This has been great. I just don't want anyone to think I'm being too flippant. I'm not. I genuinely...
No, you're not. No. And no, but you know what? It's so nice to be able to talk about something without all the drama and everything.
Yeah. I think that's how... This is it, isn't it? This is how you get the message across in a better way, is by having a little joke about it, and producer Paul has just flashed up on my screen. Your book. What's that?
Oh, my book.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I should be plugging that, shouldn't I?
The toadstool that wanted to stay.
Yes. That's so I am an ambassador for the Brain Tumor Charity.
Right. Okay.
And I wrote this book in the first lockdown with my daughter, who was away. You know, students couldn't go to uni and everything.
Oh, yeah.
She illustrated it.
Amazing.
And in conjunction with a Instagram fundraiser, we've raised £10,000 for the Brain Tumor Charity.
Fantastic.
Which I'm really, really proud about. And I'm pleased that they've made me an ambassador.
Yeah.
Because I think you need all sorts of different peoples and stories to come out and talk about this.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
Yeah, the toadstool is me. Although the toadstool is a male toadstool, and I'm obviously not male. There's a artistic license there.
No, it's all right. It's how you are. That's how you're identifying in the story.
It's about it's a gentle introduction of the circle of life,
right?
And it's aimed at beginner readers, and it's everywhere. Some have gone off to Japan, New Zealand, Canada, America, and lots of special needs, higher needs teachers.
Brilliant.
Use it and everything. So, yeah.
See, this is what I find. This is fantastic that you've had all manner of things happen to you throughout your life, yet you've also achieved greatness. Like, that's mind-blowing that you're that kind of person that's gone... You still push yourself to do amazing things, and that's...
I don't see it like that.
Well, this, you should. I'm on the outside. I've only just met you, and I'm like, this is inspirational, and I love that. And it's funny. We had Eggsy from Goldie Looking Chain on. And he's big on your old mushrooms. He's big on your mushrooms.
Yeah.
But he was saying there is a thing that human life, our ecosystem, stems from... mushrooms or fungi.
Absolutely. I'm a huge... Have you seen the Netflix documentary that's got Paul Stamets in it
No.
about fungi? Go watch it.
Yeah.
It is mind-blowing.
Really?
I mean, yeah, honestly, it's... I mean, I'm a huge microphile, love mushrooms. I can't take them medicinally, you know, for that. It's not... We're not allowed to do that in this country, so I can't
do
that.
Oh, I don't know. Do you know what? I know a few people that...
Well, great.
Have a bit of a dance around
them.
A field.
If I could find some, I would, but...
I'm not saying I can. I'm not saying I can't.
What's your number?
Yeah. All right. What's that called? Watch Fantastic Fungi.
Yeah.
On Netflix.
It
yes.
is amazing. I'm obsessed with them. In fact, I take, not in the fun way, but... I take a lot of them to keep my white blood cell count up. It helps my immune system. They're a great supplement to take.
And you can feel the benefits of that.
Well, it is very difficult to carry on with my type of chemo for a year.
Right.
And this is now my third year of chemo. So
wow.
It's down to the mushrooms.
Mate.
Yeah.
We're going to come back to that in a minute because I'm interested. I've not spoken to anyone that's had chemo before. And I find, and I, so, but we've also got, we've had John Newman, the singer-songwriter. We had him on just before the pandemic, I believe it was. And we,
yeah, it was about 2 years ago, wasn't it?
2 years ago. But he's got, he was diagnosed with a brain tumour. I think he's still got it. Is that right, Paul?
I think that's with him.
But now he does a lot of work for brain tumour charities. There's one in particular, Brain Tumour Research, he does.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The competition.
But I'm glad I brought it up. Oh, God.
No, no, it's funny. They are all a bit, they all can be a bit
Do you know what? It's the same with this podcast, right? This is a mental health podcast. But because it's not like...
I shouldn't be here because I don't have any mental health left.
Yeah, it's
fucked off.
this is what's all about what you used to have. Because it's not done in a certain way, like it's not, you know, we're not all sitting around in white lab coats with, you know, with stethoscopes around our necks. We don't really get sort of taken seriously in that bracket.
That's very disappointing.
But there are some people, like we've spoken to Calm and people like that, and we, you know, they're great and they're lovely. But there are some people that, they're very much kind of like, no, we're doing this. And like, yeah, we're doing that as well. Well, why don't we talk to each other? Like, no, we're doing it. You're like, all right.
It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know. And this is exactly the situation I'm in with this treatment.
Right.
Get together and have a chat.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
But do you think it comes down to ego? They want to be the one that discovered it. They want to be the one that, well, this is us. We did this.
Well,
it's like, just all of you get together and you can all put your name on it.
And therein lies the failing of mankind.
Yeah. You're right.
Story over, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? It is.
Everyone's got to be the big I am.
Everyone's got to be the big I am. Fuck's sake. That's why we're ruined.
Yeah, we're buggered.
But I will say, I wanted to talk to you about your chemo treatment.
Mm.
And only if you want to, you don't have to. It's just
I've
known people that have had it, but I've never really spoken to them about it. So I don't know what is it. Do they pump stuff into you?
Mine's tablets.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It is like taking a pill of death. If death tasted of anything, so I take, it's 5 days every 4 weeks.
Okay.
And what it does with brain cancer, it's very difficult to get through the blood-brain barrier. And that's why chemo notoriously is very tricky with brain cancers. A lot of normal stuff won't get through. So I don't know about all brain chemo, but a lot of it is oral. Obviously that gets through the barrier.
Yeah.
I don't know. You'd have to speak to someone more intelligent than that.
I think we've both proved that we don't know what the fuck we're talking
absolutely
about.
It's basically written on my forehead.
We're not experts here, mate.
I thought I was getting Ferrero Rocher when I was made an ambassador. Absolutely. Yeah, that's my level of where I am. it's absolutely horrific.
Right.
And it's mine particularly really, as it's oral, affects my GI tract. So everything is painful.
Right.
It's very painful. And
that's what, one tablet a day or?
Three tablets for 5 days every 4 weeks.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And as soon as you've taken it, your body
I trialed a new anti-sickness this time around and it didn't work. The first two cycles, I was vomiting for 3 hours non-stop, so much so that I tore my muscles. It's so painful because it's your body's rejecting
it's
poison basically.
Yeah.
But I've worked out anti-sickness that's working now, and so this time the last few cycles I wasn't sick. So it just makes me feel very tired. I can't eat a lot. Beige is good. Potatoes, cereal, Rich Tea Biscuits. In fact, if you can work your magic, I wrote to Rich Tea, McVitie's saying, basically, you guys are a godsend during chemo treatment. Do you want to sponsor me with Rich Tea Biscuits? And do you know what they did? So a friend of mine was helping with some PR stuff, and they wrote back saying, yeah, we're going to help you, and blah, 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 blah. They sent a £3 voucher. It's like, oh, for fuck's sake. So, point of principle now, I only get my biscuits from Tesco's.
Come on, Mavie, step up. Yeah. Everyone's listening to this, he's got a connection.
Yeah. No, I don't ask for much.
No, I imagine it's across the board. I imagine if that's what you've discovered, I imagine other people chemo.
Especially with oral chemo. Yeah. I think it's bland. You want bland, safe, and something you can always dunk in a cup of tea. You know. So I was sorely disappointed in them.
£3. That doesn't even. How many? That wasn't even buy you a packet. Would no. Three of them. Two.
Do you know what? I've put it in the drawer. I refuse to spend it. I don't want their charity £3 biscuits.
Yeah, shove it up your ass. Oh, what? Well, yeah. Go to Lidl. Get the copy ones.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a shame. And so are you on your cycle now? Are you doing it now? Or
No, so I just finished.
You must be so relieved, eh?
I've got to do it for another... I've done four cycles. I've got another... I have to do 12.
Oh, shit.
So I'm nowhere near relieved yet.
That's a lot of rich tea.
No, Tesco's only. They can sod off. I don't want their biscuits.
Oh God! And how long is the gap in between the sessions? The cycles?
It's a year's worth of chemo, basically. That's if I can tolerate. Most people can't tolerate it for that length of time. I'm meant to have a scan every 3 months, so I was meant to have a scan after my third cycle. But I said I didn't want to know. So they were really nice. And so we're doing it 6 months. And they will decide whether I'm allowed to continue. A lot of considerations that have to be made about my blood count, how I'm feeling, blah-de-blah. All things being equal, I feel like I can tolerate it quite well. Because I don't want to not have it.
No, of course
because
not.
Otherwise, I'm really buggered. Basically, I think December, I've got to carry on till.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's, you know, what'd you say? Good luck.
Well, thanks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you break a leg. I don't know what you say. I'm glad you're doing that at least. You've got that treatment. And so with that in mind, the petition.
Yes.
So explain the details of the petition and then hopefully people listening to this will sign it.
It's about getting Optune made available on the NHS.
Right.
That's the nub of it.
Yeah.
I need 100,000 signatures. I've got 31,000.
Yeah.
And I've literally sold my soul to the devil to get that amount. It's, I hope, if I had a proactive MP, I don't know, I'm meeting him tomorrow, so I don't know. I know he stopped me tagging him on Instagram.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, that's not the best of starts. But things can be moved forward by your MP or someone else. That hasn't happened, so I'm having to roll out the petition, and I'm determined to make this work.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm doing. Okay. Basically, I've accidentally become a full-time campaigner.
Well, that's what's needed to happen, and it's that's what I say. It's brilliant. You know, it's a real. I take my hat off to you. It's, you know, that's you're in that. You go, fuck it. I'm just going to go for it.
Yeah.
Rather than sitting back going, well, why is this happening to me? And, you know?
It doesn't even compute.
No.
I can't even think of that way of thinking.
No.
That's not an option.
That's why I wanted to get you on and have a chat, because I saw your video. It was on Instagram the other day, and it absolutely broke my heart. And I was like, I just need to talk to this person and see what's going on. I'm really glad we did.
Thank you.
Because it's you're amazing. You're genuinely inspirational. So
stop.
Shit tasting biscuits though.
I'm really shit tasting biscuits, yeah.
And I realised anyway, I was gonna say that. I'll put the link out. The link to the petition will be on all of our socials. We'll pump it out there, and hopefully people. And all it, like I say, it just takes a minute. It's not going to affect you in any way, shape, or form. Or hopefully it won't affect you. You know, you might need this treatment at some point. I hope you don't. But this could help someone to get that treatment.
Because for the record, this treatment isn't just for brain cancer.
It's
being used and trialled for other. So it's being used for mesothelioma, which is the asbestosis cancer in the States, which is a they're going for the really nasty cancers. Mm. And I believe it's trialled for ovarian cancer as well. You know, this is a treatment that can apply. One in two of us get cancer. Yeah. You're welcome. I've taken them on for the team.
I was going to say, there's two of us in the studio.
I know.
I'm really sorry, Paul. Yeah, sorry, mate. I just hope that you achieve what you've set out to achieve, and I'm sorry that it's not under better circumstances that we met, but I'm glad we did.
Yeah, I'm glad we met.
And
too.
I'm really
Thank
glad,
you.
And I really wish you all the best with the petition, and if there's anything else we can do, hopefully, you know, whatever, you know, just let us know.
Get me a new biscuit supplier and I'll be happy.
You know what? Yes, people listening to this, there's a good number of you now. We're reaching hundreds of thousands of people.
Excellent.
So, biscuit people, get in touch. Let's sort everybody out with some decent biscuits. Bland as fuck, though, because otherwise they'll chuck them all up.
Nothing snazzy. Don't you be getting those Bourbons over here or anything like that. And I hate custard creams. What, you eat custard creams?
Yeah, of course. I'm working class.
God, they're disgusting. Absolutely disgusting.
The giant ones in Costa are brilliant.
Oh, God. Spawn of the devil, they are.
I do like a Fig Newton, though, or a Garibaldi.
Oh, lovely.
They're nice.
Nom nom, yeah.
This has been amazing. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Rich.
Where can we find you on the socials, more importantly?
I am... my alter ego is Avocado Fairy Instagram. That was something I came up with after one too many drinks. And on Twitter, I am The Avocado Fairy because someone got there first.
Well, there's two of you.
Yeah. I know.
Bastards.
Need to bin them off, but I'm the better one. Avocado Fairy on Twitter.
Lovely. This has been amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.